ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 41, Text 28. Translation by Disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. Prabhupada. Drishtva moho shutam anudruta chetasastam. Tat prekshanot smita sudhokshana labdhamanaha. Ananda Murtim Upaguhya Drishatma Labdham. Hrishyatva Cho Jahurananta Marinda Madhim. Drishtva Moho Shrutam Anudruta Chetasastam. Prekshanot smita sudhokshana labdhamanaha. Ananda murtim upaguhya drishatma labdham. Hrishyatva cho jahurananta marinda madhim.
Can announce that the Tamil translation is going on at the back for the someone here can say. Yeah. They know the word translation. So So full verse translation as follows. Did you see Sri Giridhari and Sri Rangam, the Russian devotees, had an FM system? That's good, isn't it? So the translator can sit anywhere and the hearers can sit anywhere. Should get that. Make a note. Make a note, Hrishikesh. We should get that. And that, or just like the Matajis here, they're not going to be able to hear you most probably unless you really shout. But if you had that system, it would be convenient for all. Okay, verse translation. This chapter is called Krishna and Balaram Enter Mathura. And the translation of this verse is as follows. The ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna, and thus, as soon as they saw him, their hearts melted. They felt honored that he was sprinkling upon them the nectar of his glances and broad smiles. Taking him into their hearts, through their eyes, they embraced him, the embodiment of all ecstasy. And as their bodily hair stood on end, O subduer of enemies, they forgot the unlimited distress caused by his absence. This verse in this edition, the BBT edition of Srimad Bhagavatam, does not have commentary. And the usual procedure, I've heard it's the proper etiquette, but I've never had that confirmed, is to not speak on a verse which is not commented on by the acharyas with the idea of not stepping over them. But there are many verses, most of the whole chapter has no commentary or purport. And there's so much can be discussed starting from this verse. Of course, it's not that the acharyas couldn't comment, but the acharyas, although they are persons beyond the confines of material energy, They, when coming to this world, they act in many ways as if they are ordinary people. Krishna himself does that. As is stated earlier in the Bhagavatam, that even though he was living in Dwarka with his many queens and appeared to be like a henpecked husband, but he's still the Supreme Lord. Etadishanam ishasya prakritistho pitadgunai nayujyate sadatmastair yathabhudhistadashraya. This is his godliness, his godness, not godliness, his godness. This is what makes him God, is that even though he's within, apparently within the material nature, he's not affected by it. He doesn't really intermingle with it. And that is true of those who have taken shelter of him also, namely his pure devotees. So the pure devotees, due to time constraints, may not comment on every verse, because every verse could be commented on unlimitedly, because the Bhagavatam is Krishna, and non-different from Krishna, and everything about Krishna is unlimited. And another consideration is that they're writing for people like us who are in this world, and we don't have the time to read unlimitedly. So, although this verse is very beautiful, it's not specifically commented on. Another reason may be that at least our Gaudiya Acharyas, they're not so happy with this verse, because the ladies of Mathura are glorifying Krishna, but the gopis have lost Krishna. You can see from this verse that the translation begins, the ladies of Mathura had repeatedly heard about Krishna. And in the upcoming verses, just three verses later, they glorify the gopis who are always... Well, I can read the verse. How about that? The women of Mathura exclaimed, "Oh, what severe austerities the gopis must have performed to be able to regularly see Krishna and Balaram, who are the greatest source of pleasure for all mankind." So they knew about the gopis, and they were saying how fortunate the gopis are, because as far as they knew, Krishna was just coming with Nanda, and he was just coming for the wrestling game. Maybe they didn't even know he was called, but they expected him to go back to Vrindavan. They didn't expect him to stay. So they were saying, oh, the gopis are so lucky, they see him all the time. But the commentators know that Krishna didn't go back very soon, and for every moment that he was away, it was like 12 years or more. Yugayitam nimeshena, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. They were feeling burning in the fire of separation. So the acharyas, most of the Gaudiya acharyas, they don't comment prior to Srila Prabhupada. He made his Krishna book with comments all the way through. They don't comment extensively on Krishna's pastimes after he left Vrindavan. Of course, the prayers of the personified Vedas, that's also in the 10th canto of Bhagavatam after Krishna left Vrindavan. But it's not part of Krishna's pastimes. It's a unique chapter in that regard, very philosophical. So the ladies of Mathura are appreciating Krishna and appreciating the fortune of the gopis. Practically the whole city came to receive Krishna. They'd all heard about him. They're all devotees. Even up to the present time, people in Mathura tend to be devotees of Krishna. Maybe you were involved in that years and years ago, when in this Meenakshipuram, the whole village converted to Islam. Were you involved in that effort? No. Ravanari, the Muslim devotee, we can say, which is that oxymoronic to say that? No, not really. But he because there was a fear that it was going to be a chain reaction. You probably never even heard of this. This was more than 30 years ago. One village in Tamil Nadu, Meenakshipuram, I believed it was called, or Meenakshi something, Meenakshi Pali, 1980, yeah. The whole village converted to Islam, and everyone became, some of the Hindus in India became afraid that it would set off a chain reaction, and everyone all over India, all the Hindus are going to become Muslims. So Adridharan Prabhu, I believe, took the initiative and brought in Ravanari Prabhu, who is Arab by background, which doesn't necessarily mean he's a Muslim, because many Arabs are Christians also, but he happened to be from a long-generation mullah family. So he knew the Quran very well. He's a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. So they called him in, and they took him for big programs all over India, saying, I'm a Muslim by birth, and I'm chanting Hare Krishna. So he met, Adridharan told me this later, he met leaders of the Muslim community in Mathura, and they all said, yeah, we love Krishna also, why not? Something like that. Also, Srila Prabhupada, it must have been 76 or 1977, there was a program organized by devotees of ISKCON Vrindavan in Mathura city, which Prabhupada wasn't present at the time. There was a large attendance, and Prabhupada commented, well, yeah, they're Mathura people. Naturally, they have the feeling or love for Krishna. So that was there. Even Mathura historically went through a long period of being a Buddhist center, as did much of India was under Buddhism. Well, there was at least one person who didn't come to receive Krishna and who wasn't happy that Krishna was coming. And his name begins with K, and it wasn't Krishna. It was Kamsa. And then his brothers and his henchmen and all that. So they should have come to receive Krishna, such a great personality. But Kamsa was... had some problem holding in his stool. He had diarrhea because he was afraid that Krishna's going to come and beat the stool out of me, which he did, actually. Krishna didn't even kill him in... It wasn't even a fight with swords or bow. It wasn't even a long fight. Krishna just threw him off the dais and punched him. Just pum, 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 pummeled him to death. It wasn't even a glorious death. So the ladies of Mathura are enjoying the nectar of seeing Krishna. It's a very, very sweet verse. Ananda Murti, Krishna is the Ananda Murti. The ladies, their hair is standing on end seeing him. It's Shrinu Sukhadam Shubhadam, is it not? We feel very happy to hear it, and it's very auspicious to hear it. So you're all appreciating hearing this description of Krishna and Balaram entering Mathura. Interestingly, the verse only referred, this verse, the ladies, they don't seem to see Balaram so much because they're talking in the singular about, and it's presumed they're talking about Krishna. So Balaram's also there, but Krishna's seems to be more attractive. And Balaram doesn't have a problem with that. He doesn't say, hey, look, I'm the elder brother. You should be worshipping me more. He doesn't have a problem with that. Because he wanted to be the elder brother also after being Lakshman, and then he had to tolerate all this. Ram would also all the time make Lakshman... Ram made Lakshman tolerate the austerities that Ram went through. So he thought, well, next time... I'm not going to be Lakshmi. I'm going to be the older brother. So I'll have some say in what's going on. So he didn't... he was okay. He was cool. He's not always cool, Balaram. But in this regard, he didn't get upset at all. So the ladies of Mathura, they're their hearts are melting, and we also can appreciate that. Our hearts should be melting at every moment for Krishna. So you're appreciating this, but most people in the world wouldn't appreciate it. They'd say, the devotees are thinking, yeah, it's very nice. The women of Mathura are seeing Krishna, and it's all very sweet. And most people say, what's going on? It's just someone goes in a town, and the ladies look at him, and they feel something. It's not a very exciting story. What do you think, Damodar Gauranga? Do you think this story would make it, would be a big hit? Well, because it's Krishna, it would. But if it was anyone else, just walks in the town, and all the ladies look, and not really much action. There's no kung fu kicking, or not yet. That comes a little later. But just their appreciation of him, it's not super action-packed. Or it's story-wise, there may be many more stories which are much more interesting. There's like the... Okay. The Ramayana as a story, and the Mahabharata, it's a conglomeration of stories within stories within stories. But story-wise, Krishna enters Mathura, he sees a washerman, he cuts off his head. Well, just by, seems to be like a kung fu kind of head cutting off. Decapitation is the actual word. Then he meets a florist, and the florist, a tailor, and then a florist. So it's not super exciting from the story-wise, but because it's Krishna, devotees like to hear it again and again, because they also feel natural heart's attraction to Krishna. That is natural for the living being to feel attraction to Krishna. And development of that attraction is the perfection of life. Yesterday, coming on the train from Srirangam to Tambaram, that would have been Thursday morning. Wednesday night, I arrived in Srirangam. Thursday morning, we went for darshan at the temple at 6 o'clock. We first of all went to Tayar Sanadi, which you're supposed to do. There are probably many other things you're supposed to do before that, but we went there first. It was closed at 6 o'clock. And there are a few people waiting there, and some of them were looking at, on their smartphone, I guess it is. Is that what it is? Or at a slideshow of Nrsimha deities. So we got that transferred, so I got it, and then I got the chance to look at it, or I remember to look at it, on the train yesterday, and all of a sudden we had all these people around us looking at this slideshow of all deities, including ISKCON Mayapur. He's the most ugra of all, really, at least in appearance. Although his heart is very soft, not for Hiranyakashipu, but for Prahlad and those who then I passed it around, and different groups of people looked, and they were they're really happy, they were very happy to see it. Now, why should that be? There was a Muslim sitting next to me also, and he didn't show any interest in it. I'm lucky he didn't start blaspheming, but. But why is that? If the deity, we say deity, others say idols or stone, but because it's not just any piece of stone. I mean, you can take a piece of stone and make a sculpture. There are so many silly sculptures all over the world. In the town that I was raised in the center of the town, there was a, I didn't even think about this for decades. There was a pond or a man-made lake with a sculpture in the center of a man and a woman dancing naked. Why? Well, why not, they would say. So it doesn't, that sculpture doesn't invoke any devotional feelings in anyone. And in fact, I don't think anyone even looks at it. They just go past and they don't. What is attractive about? Nothing attractive. But everything is attractive about Krishna. And those who are fortunate to be born in this pious land of India, in a family, or you might say Hindu family, which isn't grossly atheistic, they naturally tend to have an attraction. You could say it's cultivated in the culture that they're born in, but actually it's the culture of the soul for that attraction. So Krishna is naturally attracted. I bought this Krishna book. I've been going through Krishna book. It's good to go through Krishna book time to time during your life. Read it time to time, in which these pastimes are described. And just to see, just the cover is so beautiful. You can just look at the cover. How, just as Srila Prabhupada, Krishna enters Srila Prabhupada's mind and heart and words, and in this way the Krishna book emanated, just like from Sukadeva Goswami, the Bhagavatam emanated. So Srila Prabhupada, from his heart, emanated this Krishna book, which, as Srila Prabhupada said, is a summary study of the 10th canto. That means that Srila Prabhupada, he dictated the translations, and he would give his commentary. It's interspersed throughout. And Srila Prabhupada also was very keen that it have many, many pictures. So he commissioned his disciples to paint pictures, and he called them windows to the spiritual world. And if you just look at it, it's not anything of this world. This is Krishna. This is not a picture. It's Krishna and Radha. As Srila Prabhupada said about Radha Landanishvara, the deities who he installed in London, he said, Radha Landanishvara are not deities. He said, they are Radha and Krishna pretending to be deities. What does that mean? Exactly. Try and analyze. That's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita also. When Gopal, the deity in Vrindavan, the young Brahmana said, you have to come as a witness. He said, well, I never heard of a deity walking. How can I walk? He said, you're talking to me. If you can talk, you can walk. Pratima nahatumi sakshat Rajendra Nandan. He said, you're not a statue. Come on, I know. You're directly the son of Nanda Maharaj. So this is Krishna. And it's by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, all the acharyas' mercy, Krishna's mercy, we can begin to appreciate. A materialist wouldn't appreciate. They like all kinds of other pictures. But even if someone has a little piety in their heart, they will see how beautiful. What is this beauty? And what is the love between Radha and Krishna? As Radha is holding up Krishna's flute, Krishna is holding with one hand and Radha is holding with the other. You can hardly see it. And Krishna's holding up part of Radha's sari, and it's just exquisitely beautiful. So this Krishna book, it's very, very sweet, because Krishna is very, very sweet. And now we're going to have coming up Krishna killing Kamsa, and that's also sweet. Everything is sweet. Madhuradipate rakilam madhuram. Damanam madhuram. He's suppressing the demons. It's also very, very sweet. But materialistic people, they're unfortunate. They have no appreciation. Therefore, we should distribute these books and cultivate ourselves thinking of Krishna. By reading this book, Srila Prabhupada recommends herein that devotees should read books which describe the pastimes. And he mentions Krishna Bhavanamrita by Vishwanathacharya Thakur. And he says any such books, including this book, that will nourish the devotees in hearing about Krishna and deliver to them the highest perfection of life. I'm paraphrasing, I don't remember exactly. Prahladananda Swami, maybe you don't know him. He, many years ago, he memorized the entire Krishna book. He can just speak the whole book. Because in the book, Srila Prabhupada writes about anyone who reads or hears or memorizes, and so he thought he memorized the whole book. So you can do also if you have smriti shakti, memory power, which is one of the qualities which in Kali Yuga decreases day by day. Everything in Kali Yuga, day by day, tatascanu dinam dharma satyam shocham. What is next? Satyam shocham shamadaya kalena balina rajan nang shantaya dalang smritihi. So opening his overview of Kali Yuga, Shukdev says to Parikshit Maharaj that day by day in Kali Yuga, all good qualities diminish. So he says, dharma diminishes day by day. Satyam, shocham. If you don't understand the words, let me know, because in Tamil, they don't all come. Yeah, you know, cleanliness, purity, you can say, ritual purity, you can say. shocham, kshama. Can you follow or not? In North Indian, and actually all languages in India, people can follow, but Tamil, they try to cut it off from Sanskrit. So some of the words may not be understood. Kshama, daya, you must be able to understand. Kalena balina rajan, O king, by the mighty power of time. Nangshanti, it means diminishes, you won't know that word. Ayuhu, means lifespan. Balam, bodily strength, and smritihi, the power to remember, memory, yeah, in simply memory. So all these things decrease day by day. So we can understand that if dharma is decreasing, then adharma is increasing. And it's a vicious cycle. That means if adharma is increasing, it becomes a very horrible situation. And then people, they do sinful activities. And as a result, they get sinful reactions. And as a result, people are doing more and more sinful things to each other. And they become more and more envious. And they do more and more sinful activities. And children are born out of lust. If they're lucky to get through the 9 months without being aborted. They're born in lust. They are Varna Sankara. And then the children of Varna Sankara, they become Varna Sankara squared, I guess. What would you say? Scientist? Is that? And what's the next one? Is it cubed? And it goes on. And it's a geometric regression. Regression. It's a geometric regression as they become more and more animalistic. And I'm speaking about it in a somewhat joking way, but it's really no joke. And the world's becoming completely hellish. Completely. I mean, it's just. I saw something recently on the news that seeing the news is bad for mental health because it makes you depressed. And I just saw the headline, but I could understand that it's bad for mental health because it's all horrible, so many horrible things. It used to be for a few years, up till about 2 years ago, it used to be a regular thing. They'd have videos of people being beheaded in Syria and Iraq. I never watched any of them because what do you want to watch that for? It's a horrible thing. It's just very disturbing. But that was a regular thing that was going on. And so many horrible things people are doing to each other. And even in places where people are somewhat more peaceful, so many animals are being killed. The people are very upset that so many people being killed. Actually, they should be more upset. Why are they not more upset? That Syria, Iraq, Palestine, there's systematic Yemen, killing of people going on, wars. But so many animals are being killed in the slaughterhouses. It's hellish. Hellish situation. Killing, raping, children being kidnapped and sold and mutilated and killed for organs, women being trafficked for sex. It's absolutely horrible situation. What should be done? It's exactly the opposite of Krishna Leela, of Krishna's beautiful pastimes in Vrindavan. But in Vrindavan also, Srila Prabhupada writes that here in Krishna book, that the atmosphere, that Vrindavan is such a nice place, Srila Prabhupada writes, but the atmosphere, the very nature of this material world is that even in Vrindavan, when Krishna was there, there were so many disturbances. So we cannot expect a peaceful or comfortable situation in this material world. Even if someone makes a big effort to make a comfortable situation, anything can happen at any time. Even if you're very comfortably situated with enough money, whatever that means, because no one ever thinks they have enough money. Does this Mukesh Ambani thinks he has enough money? No, he's busy working. He probably gets up early in the morning, but not for sadhana. All these successful people, they get up early in the morning, they work hard. Why is he working? If he gave away 90% of his wealth, he could still he could spend a crore a day and still die a rich man. So why is he? He's not content. So no one's happy in this world, and the whole situation is becoming it's just so bad and getting worse and worse day by day. Tatas chanudinam, thereafter, day by day, anudinam, day by day things get worse. You know the name of Vedanta Deshika, I hope. Most people in Tamil Nadu don't, but you do because you're associated with Srila Prabhupada's ISKCON, and naturally the devotees in ISKCON in Tamil Nadu, they take pleasure and pride and inspiration from the sampradaya of Sri Ramanujacharya also. So he wrote, how many years ago was that? More than 500 years ago. That he had been to North India, Varanasi, and he was shocked at the degradation. How people were going away from the Vedic culture. He was shocked. Now, if we were to go to Varanasi 500 years ago, we would think, oh, it's just like heaven. People are following all the culture so nicely. They couldn't imagine how things have become so degraded. As Srila Prabhupada writes in the first canto of Bhagavatam, discussing about the personality of Kali attacking the cow and the bull. And Srila Prabhupada wrote in the purport that the sages at Naimisharanya, they were shocked. They could hardly imagine, how is it possible that someone can treat cruelly a cow? As I often say in public talks here in India, that if within 100 years, within a span of 100 years, there is one cow slaughtered in this holy land, it is a great disgrace and a great, I use the word usually kalank, which means a scar or a contamination on the whole country. But daily, thousands and thousands of cows are being killed or sent to Pakistan and Bangladesh for killing there. What is the situation? Daily, thousands and thousands of children are being aborted in the womb. What a hellish, hellish situation. So what's the cure? We should make some rally, Sankirtan rally. The cure, the only hope is Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, everything is hopeless. Chanting the names of Krishna. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar Nam Hoite Hoi Sarva Jagate Nishta. This in Kali Yuga, Krishna has descended as the holy name which can deliver the whole world. So we should not ourselves be comfortable. We are happy in Krishna consciousness. I hope we're all happy in Krishna consciousness. But we should share Srila Prabhupada's mood, which he often quoted Prahlad Maharaj. And when he was translating this section, I happened to be in Mayapur and Vrindavan in the 1976 festival. All the devotees were saying, I believe it was Harikesh Maharaj who was traveling as his secretary at the time, that Srila Prabhupada was very much in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, with the mood of Naivodvijay Parudharatya Vaitaranyas, Tvadvirya Gayana Mahamrita Magna Chittaha, Shocheta Tovi Mukacheta Sa Indriyarta Maya Sukhaya Bharamudvahatovi Murha. Prahlad said to Nrisimha, I'm very happy. That's my name, Prahlad. I'm very happy remembering you, glorifying you. But I'm very unhappy also seeing all these fools and rascals who are inimical to you and who are simply living for the sake of their senses. So Nrisimhadev came and he killed Hiranyakashipu. Who else did he kill? Anyone know? You're reading the Bhagavatam carefully. He killed a whole bunch of Hiranyakashipu's servants and soldiers. But there was still plenty left over. Otherwise, Prahlad wouldn't have said that. So that should be the mood of the devotee. How we can bring people to Krishna. And for this aim, Srila Prabhupada himself worked very hard. This Krishna consciousness movement didn't come about just by Srila Prabhupada sitting and chanting. In fact, he quoted his Guru Maharaj many times as condemning the idea of sitting peacefully and chanting Hare Krishna. Why? Why should you condemn? That's the goal of life, isn't it? No, but just for your own sake, to chant is not good enough. You have to do something to help others. Of course, to chant Hare Krishna is better than having no relationship with Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada was insisting that devotees who have got the gift of Krishna consciousness, they have a duty to bring that to others as far as they can. Not everyone's going to be a great preacher like Srila Prabhupada. Not everyone's going to be a world-traveling acharya, but everyone has to try to bring others to Krishna consciousness. And that is the purpose of this temple, it's the purpose of these books, is to bring ourselves to Krishna, bring others to Krishna. Krishna means all attractive. We have to attract people to Krishna because Krishna conscious devotional service is a voluntary activity. We're reading about the ladies of Mathura. They're already on the perfectional platform in this material world. We're on the conditional platform. One has to take to devotional service voluntarily. There are many organizations which are trying to increase their numbers. The BJP is trying down here in Tamil Nadu and throughout India, as are the Congress and so many other parties, different religious groups, different groups of Muslims and Christians, they're trying to increase their numbers. But preaching Krishna consciousness, it's not exactly like recruiting numbers for a political party or even converting people to a religion, because this is all on the mundane mental and emotional platform. But Krishna consciousness means to awaken people's natural attraction for Krishna, which is on the spiritual platform. Now, we have to try to do that by various means. Sometimes devotees talk about bridge preaching, but all preaching is bridge preaching, because people are on, by the mercy of Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Acharyas, Prabhupada, we are, fortunately, we're on the process by which we're on the other side of the Vaitarani. We're well situated, but others are not. They're in materialistic consciousness. So we have to reach out to them in such a way that they come a little closer to Krishna and bring them to this side of the bridge. The problem with bridge preaching is when we don't bring them back, or we may ourselves cross over somewhat to the other side. So by various means we try to attract people, just like devotees could be sitting in a field here chanting Hare Krishna. There was a field here previously. Now there's a beautiful temple. If we were sitting in a field, not many people would come, if anyone would come. Probably a builder would come and with a piece of paper saying, get out, I'm going to build an apartment complex here. So this temple was built, and now so many people are coming to see Krishna. And the idea is that they're, by coming, they'll have darshan, they can take Srila Prabhupada's books, they can join in the kirtan, they can associate with devotees, they can hear something about Krishna, and this way their attraction for Krishna can begin to be awoken. By food, we can try to attract them to Krishna. Of course, people in India, they know the value of prasad. They may also know or be suspicious. Sometimes you may have had the experience, you try to give prasad to Muslims, they don't want to take it. They think shaitan is in. So they know that, not all of them, some take it also, but they know there's something special there. Either good way or bad way, they know it's something special. But prasad is very attractive. Should be very... of course, distributing prasad at temples is absolutely part of temple culture. Everyone should, in any temple, when they visit, they should get a few grains of sugar, at least, or batasha. What is that in Tamil? What's that called? Same thing. Yeah. Kalkal or something like that. Anyway. So everyone should get some prasadam, but Srila Prabhupada, he made a point of distributing opulent, delicious prasadam. So that's one way to attract people. It's all meant for attracting people. By fun, festivals, Rath Yatra, it's fun. By prestige, we can offer, oh, you come and you donate and we'll put a big plaque on the wall that you donated so much money to build this temple. So some people like to have their name on the floor, the plaque on the floor, with the idea all the devotees, they'll put their foot dust on me like that. So there are various ways to attract people. The highest level, which if we see Srila Prabhupada's preaching, much of it was aimed to that, if we see there are the four kinds, Chaturvidha Bhajante Manjana Sukritin Arjuna, Artho Jignyasu Artharati Jnani Chabharatarshaba. There are people who are pious become attracted to Krishna. They're the distressed, someone who desires wealth, someone who's inquisitive, and someone who is in knowledge, minimally who's in knowledge that Atato Brahma Jignasa. Human life is meant for inquiring into the Supreme. So Srila Prabhupada, his preaching, in his verbal preaching, his writing, was to introduce people to God, so that people can know who is God. This whole Krishna book makes it very clear who is God. And Srila Prabhupada would speak with people and say, well, do you know who is God? What is your religion if you don't know who is God? Can you say who is God? If you don't know, ask me. I'll tell you. We know. It's Krishna. You say you don't know? I know. This is it. Krishna. And explain. Aishwaryasya, Samagrasya, Viryasya, Yashasya, Shriha, Jnana Vairagya, Yoshchaiva, Shandang, Bhagya, Itingena. The English word God, it is exactly, it corresponds to that person in whom all opulences are there in full, and that person is Krishna. So we have to bring people to the level of coming to Krishna, and then naturally their heart's feelings for Krishna will awaken. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas sarvang pravatate iti matva bhajante mang buddha bhava samanvitaha. When people come to know, if someone comes to know that Krishna is the generator of everything, the source of everything, which means the source, the maintainer, and the destroyer of everything, then the next stage, they start to worship Krishna. And worship Krishna is naturally with love and with feelings on the transcendental platform, which develops to the level of the feelings of the ladies of Mathura, who were entranced by seeing Krishna and who are realizing the fortune of the gopis, who are more fortunate even than the ladies of Mathura, because they always saw Krishna. And even though the ladies of Mathura would see Krishna for several years, still the gopis are considered more fortunate because their level of intimacy is more so. So ultimately, we have to bring people to the level of loving Krishna, being attracted to Krishna. There are various preaching strategies in which we appeal to people's emotions, just like Rathiatra, dramas. So they don't know anything about spiritual knowledge or spiritual life, but because the subject is Krishna, even if they feel attracted on the sensual platform, then their spiritual consciousness will begin to awake. Just like they like prasadam because it's nice food. That was actually a major preaching strategy of Srila Prabhupada in the Western countries, which could be used even today, was to have really delicious, out of this world prasadam. You can't compare it to any chef or anything like this. The prasad was so spiritually attractive. In this way, bringing people up to the spiritual platform, that means they have to hear also. Take prasad, join in the kirtan, that's also attractive to the senses. People who are, they may not have any spiritual knowledge, but if they somehow or other, they like to join in the kirtan and maybe dance, they'll be benefited. But they have to hear about Krishna and understand that we are subordinate. He is the controller. We are controlled. The gradation of preaching, bringing people step by step by rathiyatras, kirtans, prasad distribution, festivals, then ado shraddha, people's initial faith in Krishna is awakened. This 10th canto describes the pastimes of Krishna. After we should have gone through 9 cantos in which our faith becomes very solid by hearing and hearing and hearing. So preaching means to reach out to others and bring them up also. if we so-called make devotees only by offering some material inducement, some position, we become very interested, who's got this position, and that becomes the defining factor in our devotional society, then we lost the thread. We lost the thread. If we simply see in terms of numbers, who's bringing more numbers, then we lost the point. Because in the numbers game, there are so many gurus and swamis who are going to be ahead because they're cheating others, and people like to be cheated in the name of religion. They like to feel they're being very religious and spiritual and at the same time be on the material platform. So in some ways it's easier to preach without introducing Krishna. That seems very strange because preaching is only for bringing people to Krishna. The point is that we have to actually introduce people to Krishna, to pure devotional service, which is surrender. Otherwise, we're simply increasing the numbers and not getting anywhere. Now, I'm very aware, and I'm not going to get into it here because time's up, that Rasaraj Prabhu is here, and your field of preaching is about as bridge as it could be. Huh? It's slow work, you could say, in which practically you don't mention Krishna very soon. But I'm not going to get into that because he's preaching in the scientific field and we are not. So I'm talking in a general way here. And having said all that, I finish here. Hare Krishna. Please read Krishna book and distribute it. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Hare Krishna. Any question, please? 3, 2, 1, 0. There's a question. Okay. Can devotees enter into political? They can. Whether it's recommended or not, it's another question. In general, I would say, why not? In general, I would also say, I would have to see the persons who are involved, because you don't start a political party with one person. See the devotees involved, see their capability, see the possibility. Then we would consider. In principle, there's no reason why devotees shouldn't start political parties. In practice, we'd have to consider very carefully. It's got nothing to do with the class. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. There's another question. Should devotees practice very well before they go for preaching? During the course of preaching, they develop. Both things should go on side by side. One should know something if one is going to preach. One should practice properly. It's no use smoking cigarettes and telling others not to smoke cigarettes. So both things should go on side by side under the direction of experienced devotees. We are recommended to read Srimad Bhagavatam beginning with the first canto, first chapter, first verse, and go through verse by verse, and not go directly to the 10th canto. And why then did Srila Prabhupada give Krishna book? I wonder how many times I've been asked this question. Well, Srila Prabhupada himself stated that he started to compose this Krishna book after he had had some serious health problem in America, and he wasn't sure how much time he'd have here. So he wanted to give the essence of all the shastras, the 10th canto of Bhagavatam. Generally, we're recommended to go through all the Bhagavatam, but this is distributed to the public also. As I had stated, Srila Prabhupada gave philosophical understanding completely intertwined with all the pastimes. So no one, if they're an honest reader, no one can misunderstand. But still, we should read all the Bhagavatam. Actually, when I joined the movement, the devotees, the four books were very prominent among devotees, and they'd read them and quote them in the classes, mostly. That was the Bhagavad Gita as it is, Nectar of Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and Krishna book. These were the first four big books that Prabhupada made apart from the Bhagavatam. So these books were much quoted because they're all books which have the essence. Gita, the essential philosophy, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the essence of all the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nectar of Devotion, and Krishna book. So these books were read a lot and quoted a lot by devotees in classes and in the discussions among themselves. Yeah, okay. How to? It's a how-to question. How do we what?
Avoid the non-experienced devotee.
I still didn't get it.
How to avoid mixing with the non-experienced devotees?
How do you avoid mixing with non-experienced devotees? Why should you want to avoid mixing with non... That's my question. Why should you want to avoid? We want to mix with devotees. We want especially to take the association of devotees more advanced than ourselves, but it doesn't mean we avoid all others. You must be a non-experienced devotee to ask such a question. I'll have to avoid you. Boo! Let's get out of here. There's a sign I saw, don't sit with your back to the deity, somewhere in here. If they're non-experienced and you're experienced, then share your experience, make them experienced. Yeah. Yeah, it's a major program that Srila Prabhupada instituted, distributing sumptuous prasadam. Srila Prabhupada used to use the word sumptuous. Yeah, and they use ghee for preparations, that's true. But we can see in India a different approach. Okay. What is the question? What should you do in this situation? You should become an empowered acharya, and by your purity and your force, you can change the whole situation. Hare Krishna, they're coming thick and fast. I can't get out of here. We're not supposed to introduce Krishna to envious people. Who said that? Should not. Well, he didn't say we shouldn't introduce Krishna. We are. Yeah, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that we shouldn't give these teachings to envious people. And the Madhyamadhikari is supposed to avoid the envious. But as no one said, we shouldn't give Krishna to the envious. It's not exactly the same thing. We can try and give the books to all kinds of people. We can try and induce all kinds of people to take prasad. We can chant Hare Krishna. And envious people can hear also. They may run away, but at least they will have heard it. So somewhere or other, we can try to bring Krishna to others. That's the very mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to try to deliver the most fallen. So it's not that we deny the opportunity to envious people, although we may not mix with them very thickly, and we may concentrate our efforts on preaching Krishna consciousness to people who are more favorable. But it's not that anyone is denied the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We don't have a policy of denying anyone.
Maharaj, my question is, should we have a kind of a graded approach, a customized approach, where we initially introduce them to an impersonal understanding of God, then gradually take them over to a personal understanding? Is it okay?
Is it okay to take people to an impersonal understanding and then to a personal understanding? How many lifetimes is that going to take? They can chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead in this life, so why waste time? Dino hino joto chilo harinaame udharilo. That is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process. Those who are the most fallen, he lifted them up by harinam. So I don't find anywhere in Srila Prabhupada's preaching policy that first of all you introduce them to some impersonalism, and then you take them up. That will confuse them more. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.